welcome everyone that are here this morning. It's fantastic to see each of your faces. Today we will continue on our summer series that's based on what we hope is an upcoming book in the spring called The Sacred Undoing, Faith Beyond the BS. Last week we talked about heaven, as you might have guessed from our opening song. Today we'll be talking about hell. As a sort of backdrop to today's message, let's hear the mission that Jesus claimed as his own, the one that he said he was, that those that were with him were hearing it fulfilled in his reading of it. This comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, and I'm reading from the NRSV updated edition. Hear now these words. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed be free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I'd also like to read an excerpt from, and I'm going to try not to stumble on the name too much, Ada Maria Isazi Diaz. She wrote The Mujerista Theology is the name of her book, and she actually began the Mujerista Theology. And that is, Mujerista is someone who makes preferential options for Latina women. It's also developed a little bit just to speak of someone who struggles to liberate herself. And in her book she says this, listen to these words, "We must understand salvation as the process of liberation from all that oppresses us. Sinful structures, personal brokenness, social injustice. Salvation is not a reward for believing the right doctrine. It is participation in the work of justice, the struggle for human dignity, and the affirmation of life for all people. For Mujeristas, salvation is not about the afterlife. It is about how we live in comunidad, seeking justice now."
It's a very tongue-in-cheek song, yeah. By Billie Eilish. My Lucifer is lonely. Standing there, killing time. Can't you mention anything but a crime? Features on vacation, an open invitation. Animals, evidence, pearly gates look more like a picket fence. Once you get inside, got friends that can't invite. California, I turn to ignore ya. Don't say I ignore ya. All the good girls go to hell, cause even God herself has enemies. And once the waters start to rise and heaven's out of sight, she'll want the devil off her team. You know I'm not your friend without some greenery. Walking wearing fetters, Peter should know better. Her cover-up is caving in. Man is such a fool, why are we saving him? Poisoning themselves now, begging for our help, wow. Hillsburn in California, my turn to ignore ya. Don't say I ignore ya. All the good girls go to hell,
Continuation of our summer sermon series. Today we're talking about hell in a sermon entitled Helma, Releasing Eternal Damnation. So let's begin with a phrase that I've heard far too often in my life. Turn or burn. And we're not talking about Sunday here. This is about theology. Turn or burn. Now, if that sounds more like a threat than a theology, that's because it is. For centuries, Christians have preached about eternal damnation like it's the gospel truth. They've used hell as a weapon, as a scare tactic, as a form of spiritual control. They've used it to silence and shame and exclude and to manipulate. And then they dare to call it love. But I would like to make it clear this morning. Hell is not divine justice. Hell is human cruelty dressed up in God language. And it's long past time that we let it go. Let's just start with the basics. The Bible doesn't teach eternal torment the way that modern Christianity does. Progressive Christian scholars remind us that the doctrine of hell as eternal torment does not reflect the earliest voices of faith, but instead mirrors the rise in institutional power structures. And contemporary theologians point out how theology became a tool of colonial control, you know, justifying the suffering of the oppressed by promising rewards or punishments after death. You know, that move shifted attention away from the injustices of the present. When hell becomes a threat to enforce submission rather than a metaphor to speak of transformation, it ceases to be sacred. And it starts to look like a theological tool of domination. I mean, if the character of God is love, as the tradition of Christianity proclaims, then hell can't be the endless negation of that love. That version of hell, the fire, the torture, the pitchforks, is more Dante than Jesus. It's more medieval imagination than ancient theology. See, in the Hebrew scripture, Sheol is just a place of the grave, a place of shadows, not of punishment. And then in the New Testament, Gehenna was actually just a valley that was outside of Jerusalem. A literal garbage dump out there that sometimes a fire burned in, and yet somehow we took that city dump and turned it into an eternal dungeon. We turned a metaphor into a map, poetry into prison. And we did it to control people. Because fear is an easy way keep people in line. Especially if you convince them that questioning doctrine might land them in the flames. But hell, as it's been taught, is not the story of a loving God. Dolores Williams, in her Womanist Theology, calls us to consider whose suffering we allow when we cling to doctrines like eternal damnation. She reminds us that theology must be accountable to the lived realities of black women and other historically excluded communities. If our theology justifies suffering rather than confronts that suffering, it is not a theology we're keeping, she says. We must ask, who benefits from a God who allows folks to burn forever? It's rarely the vulnerable. It's typically the powerful, the gatekeepers of salvation, the ones who profit from keeping others in fear. And it's precisely those power structures that Jesus came to upend. It's the story of empire, it's the story of patriarchy, it's the story of hierarchy, of power, and of weaponized religion. It's not divine punishment, it's colonized theology. And if love is our lens, let me say this clearly. Eternal damnation doesn't reveal the heart of God. It reveals the heart of empire. So let's talk just a little bit about who gets hurt by hell. Because it's not just about bad theology, it's also about people. It's the queer kid who's told they're going to burn if they don't repent who they are. It's the abuse survivor told to forgive their abuser or else. It's the person with disabilities who's told their condition is punishment from God. It's the refugee who flees violence only to be met with the gospel of exclusion. Liberation theologians flip that script and insist that judgment must start with the oppressed. They argue that the divine justice doesn't flow from the seat of dominance, but rather from the margins. That means if there is a judgment, it looks like solidarity. It looks like justice rolling like waters, not like vengeance, but like a radical redistribution of dignity. See, when love is the judge, when love is the judge, the scales do not weigh sins of belief. They balance the weight of injustice. See, judgment becomes not the end of the story, but the beginning of restoration. And that restoration includes those that have been written out of the story entirely, the queer saints, the prophets who are disabled, the doubting disciples. It's the opposite of eternal damnation doctrine, which essentially says, be like us, worship like us, submit like us, or suffer forever. And that's not faith. That's not faith, that's fascism. And in the irony, the ones shouting about hell the loudest are often the ones who are most willing to create it here on earth. They build systems that punish the poor. They support policies that cage migrants. They weaponize religion against trans kids. They defund healthcare. They deny climate change. They silence survivors and they dare. They dare to speak of judgment. Hell is not just a doctrine, it's a distraction. A way to avoid dealing with the hells that we have made here on earth. Because if we can keep people afraid of some future punishment, we don't have to comfort the injustices of the present. But Jesus didn't preach fear to fight. He preached freedom from fear. He didn't say, being afraid about what's going to happen after death, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Hell is not the point of this story. Love is. So let's imagine a different judgment day. What if the judge is love? What if the standard isn't belief, but the standard is compassion? What if the question isn't, did you say the sinner's prayer, but did you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the prisoner, care for the least things? What if judgment is not retribution, but rather revelation? What if the fire isn't for punishment, but it is for purification? Not to destroy us, but to burn away what doesn't belong, to refine our humanity until all that remains is compassion. Because if you need fire to be part of the story, then maybe don't make it a torture chamber. Maybe it's transformation. Maybe the flames are not punishment, but protest. The fire in the bush that didn't consume. The tongues of flames at Pentecost that spoke new life. The fire in our bones that won't let us stay silent in the face of injustice. Let me say it plain. If your theology teaches that God tortures people forever for being born into the wrong religion, loving the wrong person, asking too many questions, your theology is not divine. It is abusive. And if that makes me a heretic, then so be it. So be it. Because frankly, I would rather be wrong about hell than wrong about love. So, how do we let go of eternal damnation? First, we name it for what it is, a tool of control. A product of the empire. A distortion of the divine. Then we get honest about what we actually believe. Not what we're told to believe. Not what keeps us safe, but what aligns us with the God that we see in the teachings and in the life of Jesus. And finally, we replace that fear with newfound freedom. We stop preaching hellfire, we start preaching healing. We stop threatening damnation and start practicing liberation. We stop scaring people into belief and start loving people into wholeness. Because the love that holds the universe isn't standing with a ledger. Love's out in the street, feeding, protesting, embracing, raising the dead parts of us back up to life. The truth is, we don't need hell to make sense of evil. We don't need hell to give people what they deserve. We don't need hell to scare people into being good. We need justice. We need mercy. We need each other. And we need to believe that transformation is possible, not just for us, but for everyone. If hell exists, maybe it's the hell that we make when we deny someone their dignity. When we exploit the earth, when we crucify prophets, when we build walls around compassion. But that's the hell we've made. If it is, then love is the fire that will burn it down. See, hell does not get the final word. Love does. And if that's true, then we don't need to threaten people into heaven. We don't need to invite them into hope. We need to embody a faith that frees instead of frightens. We need to be the kind of community that people run towards and not from. Because fear might fill pews, but only love transforms lives. So let's say it loud, loud enough that the old doctrines rattle in their chains? Hell no. Hell no to a God who tortures. Hell no to a gospel built on fear. Hell no to doctrines that harm the ones love came to lift up. Hell no to shame-based salvation. And hell no to weaponized theology. Hell no to a faith that forgets the faces of the most vulnerable. And let's say hell yes. Hell yes to liberation. Hell yes to compassion. Hell yes to the fierce, healing, justice-drenched love that leaves no one behind. Because the fires of the empire may burn, the river of love flows stronger still. And it's calling all of us out of fear, out of shame, out of damnation, and into freedom. So let the hellfire go. Let the doctrine die. Let the judgment be joy. Because eternal damnation is not sacred. But your humanity is, your doubt is, your questions are, your liberation is. Because in the end, we are not called to survive damnation. We are called to dismantle the hells that have been created here.
Know that I have a bowling show on Friday, and so I decided that we're going to do 5 new pieces since May for 2 reasons. One, and I'm sorry this isn't meditation time, but I'm kind of taking full opportunity and advantage of this crowd today. 2 reasons. I found this album that Claude Bolin created to honor his jazz heroes of the past. 12 jazz heroes, 12 pieces. The music is fantastic, and there's sheet music for it. So I decided we'll do 3 of those. And so that's one of them I'm doing all by myself, and no one has ever heard it before. And I just got to get it in front of people. So I want to play it for you. This one, the 3 that we're doing is honoring Duke Ellington, Fats Waller, and Ramsey Lewis. They're really cool pieces. And this one is Fats Waller.
Thank you.
Genesis about the televangelist movement and the manipulation of the church. It always pops up. No matter what keywords I start putting in, Google AI always kind of sends me this song. Religious manipulation, it's kind of, I said, all right, we'll put this week. And it is religious manipulation, but this song is about. I bet you've heard it on a top 40 radio. At you every Sunday, see the face on the billboard. Well, that man is me. On the cover of a magazine, there's a question why I'm smiling. You buy a piece of paradise, you buy a piece of me. I'll get you everything that you wanted, I'll get you everything you need. You don't need to believe in hereafter to believe in me. Because Jesus, he knows me. If you want to go to heaven. all right. Won't find the fastest in what I am preaching. Won't find me making no sacrifice. But I can get you a pocket full of miracles. If you promise to be good, try to be nice. And God will take good care of you. Just do as I say and don't do as I do. I count my blessings, but I found happiness, cause I'm getting richer day on day. You can find me in the book, just call it all three numbers. You can do anything you put it, just do it right away. There'll be no doubt in your mind, you'll believe everything I'm saying. But if you want to get closer, get on your knees and start taking.
Consider doctrines, the importance of humility as we move forward and try to understand our sacred texts, who we are to be in this world and how we are to act in this world. invite you now to bow your head together with me. May we be unbound from the chains we were told were sacred, the threats, the shame, the fear of fire mistaken for faith. May we let go of the need to scare people into love and learn instead to love people into wholeness. May we remember that no one is saved by fear. No one is liberated by torment. No one is redeemed by cruelty dressed in doctrine. May we be done with hellfire religion that forgets to feed the hungry, that forgets the trans kid on the margins, that forgets the wounded and questioning and the ones who dare to be free. May we be brave enough to imagine a judgment that looks like joy, a fire that refines, not destroys, a love that never threatens, never coerces, never leaves anyone behind. May we not just reject hell, but every theology that tries to scare the compassion out of us. May we build the kind of faith people run towards, not from. Because the only flames worth preaching are the ones that burn for justice. And the only salvation worth living is the one that starts with dignity and ends in freedom. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. May you know love and happiness throughout your life. May your words and your actions bring that love and happiness to all of those you meet.
This was under the temptations and the undisputed truth. 1971. I'm just going to do a little bit of this. I've done this once before. I'm just going to do a little piece of the song. Exactly words. It's a awkward song. Born into this world a baby, your mind is clear as the air. Time passes, you'll learn to walk and talk. Time passes, you'll learn right from wrong. Time passes, you leave home seeking a life of your own. I'm telling you the natural facts for what it's worth. Make your own heaven and hell right here on earth. Time passes and your values change. Life becomes a strange, confusing game. Suddenly you want to fly and be in life. But you find it takes a lot of hard work and sacrifice. There is no such thing as something for nothing. Can you dig it? Now you stand. Right here on earth.